From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Tom Harper with Stevens Real Estate, specializing in helping people buy and sell unique and older homes in Lawrence. More information at tom-harper.com or on Instagram at Lawrence Modern.
Lows in the lower 60s tonight, sunshine tomorrow with a high in the lower 80s. It's 6:06.
To All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 91.3 FM in Junction City. We're always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Public Library, offering downloadable ebooks, audiobooks, streaming movies, and more, all available with a library card. Card information at lplks.org.
Stay with us another 40 or so minutes of All Things Considered still to come in our next half hour, an update of news headlines. Then Illinois has become a major access point for patients seeking abortions. Providers are trying to bring that message home by setting up a reproductive health clinic on wheels just miles from the Democratic National Convention. Sarah McCammon is there. She'll tell us all about it. Also, we will learn more about a new package of bills in California targeting shoplifters. It's all coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from KU Spencer Museum of Art, now showing the exhibition Inked Bodies, which highlights the diverse stories people tell through tattoos. Details at spencerart.ku.edu.
Don't forget that Friday night we continue with our series of concert broadcasts from the BBC Proms. This time around, a symphony by Olivier Messiaen. Also, the world premiere of a piece from Anna Klein, written especially for the Proms. Friday night at 7 on your KPR1 stations. Mostly clear skies this evening, becoming partly cloudy with a low in the lower 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine, a high in the lower 80s. Tomorrow night, a low in the lower 60s. Heat starts to build back in over the weekend, so enjoy it while we got it. The time is 6:20.
Support for NPR.
Our news.
Join us tomorrow morning, beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. Morning edition gets you caught up on all the news from overnight and more.
Support for KPR comes from the Mixmaster Music Showcase and live taping for KPR's new 105 Live Music Program with Draper Family Band, Christina Graves, and the Swallowtails at the Bottleneck in Lawrence, September 6th. Tickets at Mixmaster2024.com.
Up next, we have news headlines. 79 degrees in Lawrence, 79 in Topeka. It's 6:30.
This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. The Kansas Bureau of Investigation is looking into the disappearance of the interim city clerk in Peabody, a small town north of Wichita. Daniel Caudill explains.
Jonathan Clayton disappeared earlier this month amid concerns about how he administered a state grant worth nearly $750,000. The state awarded the grant to the Peabody Main Street Association, which works to revitalize the city's downtown area. State officials have since demanded the group return that money, citing a lack of required financial reports. In 2018, Clayton pled guilty in Philadelphia to financial crimes, including forgery and theft. He also previously worked for the Kansas Department of Commerce. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Daniel Caudill at the State House.
A civil rights group is warning Kansas public schools that they cannot hand out Bibles or other religious materials. Suzanne Perez has that story.
Kansas ACLU officials say that in May, an elementary school principal in Belleville allowed someone from Gideon's International to distribute Bibles to students during recess. Belleville is a district of about 500 students in north central Kansas. In a letter to the principal and members of the Belleville School Board, ACLU Legal Director Monica Bennett says the action violated the First Amendment, which mandates governmental neutrality when it comes to religion. Bennett says allowing someone to hand out Bibles during the school day also violated a district policy that bans employees from promoting religious viewpoints. School officials could not be reached for comment. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Suzanne Perez in Wichita.
And farmers in central Kansas will not have to cut back on irrigation next year to ensure a nearby wildlife refuge has enough water, Celia Yopis-Jepson reports.
Quivira National Wildlife Refuge is a critical stop for hundreds of thousands of migrating birds. Under Kansas law, these wetlands have a right to some of the water being used for crop irrigation, but enforcing that right would hurt farmers. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service can push Kansas to enforce it, but so far it has agreed not to do that. The federal agency says Kansas and farmers are making progress to improve water flow to Quivira. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Celia Yopis-Jepson.
You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Support for NPR comes from this.
Join us every weekday for a well-rounded start to your morning.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, and many other frequencies as well. We're always online, streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. Plenty to see at that website. You can also become a member. Just click on support.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas Libraries, a state, regional, and federal depository providing the resources and partnerships necessary for both research and academic success. More at lib.ku.edu.
Stay tuned. We still have another 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. It will be followed on your KPR1 stations by 2 hours of classical music with Destiny. If you're joining us on KPR2, up next is Reveal. Mostly clear skies this evening, becoming partly cloudy, lows in the lower 60s. Another nice day tomorrow. Sunshine, highs in the lower 80s. Down to the lower 60s tomorrow night. Highs in the mid-80s for Thursday, up around 90 on Friday. Well into the 90s for Saturday and Sunday. It's 79 degrees in Lawrence. It's 10 minutes before 7.
From Procter & Gamble, maker of Nervive. Nervive Nerve Relief is designed to reduce occasional nerve aches, weakness, and discomfort in hands or feet due to aging. Learn more at NerviveHealth.com. From Amazon Business, committed to being a digital purchasing solution for businesses so that growing the business is the main focus and not admin and paperwork. Learn about smart business buying at AmazonBusiness.com. And from ECMC Foundation at ECMCFoundation.org.
The history of presidential campaign songs goes back to George Washington. Hear the hits and analysis of the Democratic Convention tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition. Your local host will be Jay Schaefer.
Support for KPR comes from Beautiful Music Violin Shop, offering student rentals of all violin family instruments for next semester and rehair and restoration of student and fine bows. More at BeautifulMusicVioLinShop.com.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Stay tuned. Evening classical music with Destiny coming right up immediately following the NPR News and Stardate tonight, focusing on some pretty exciting things that happened on this very day more than 100 years ago. Find out coming up on KPR. Partly cloudy overnight, lows in the lower 60s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the lower 80s. Tomorrow night, low in the lower 60s. Starting a warm-up on Thursday, we'll get into the mid-80s. Highs around 90 are forecast for Friday. And we will be well into the mid-90s Saturday and Sunday.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Day two of the Democratic National Convention is featuring some major party heavy hitters, including headliner former President Barack Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama. But along with the equivalent of Democratic political royalty, some Republicans are explaining why they are no longer supporting President Trump and former President Trump in his bid to regain the White House. Among them, one-time Trump White House Press Secretary Stephanie Grisham.
Behind closed doors, Trump mocks his supporters. He calls them basement dwellers. On a hospital visit one time when people were dying in the ICU, he was mad that the cameras were not watching him. He has no empathy, no morals, and no fidelity to the truth.
Other speakers this evening include Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, and New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham. The Democratic National Convention is focusing on the future of the party today. And for Vice President Harris, part of that means reaching out to younger voters. It's a message her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, echoed today in Chicago. Here's NPR's Lena Moore.
Speaking at the DNC's Youth Council meeting, Walz admitted that this presidential race is going to be close. He put the onus on young people to get involved now.
It's going to be won in the trenches. It's going to be won by your demographic for the most part. If we can turn you out and get you to vote, that's how it's going to be done.
Voters under 30 are a crucial voting block for the Harris-Walz campaign, more so than for former President Donald Trump. It's a demographic that has the potential to push Harris over the finish line in a number of key battleground states. And recent polls show the vice president gaining back some of the support President Biden lost with this group. Elena Moore, NPR News, Chicago.
A senior administration official is accusing Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of making statements that are not helping nail down a ceasefire in Gaza. As NPR's Jackie Northam explains, the comments come during an intense round of diplomacy by Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
Secretary Blinken's first stop was Israel on Monday, where he held a three-hour meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu. Blinken later said Netanyahu accepted a so-called bridging agreement meant to help bring Hamas and Israel closer to a ceasefire and hostage return deal. But according to Israeli news reports, Netanyahu later said he convinced Blinken that Israeli troops need to stay in some parts of Gaza, something which could jeopardize a ceasefire deal. A senior State Department official pushed back on that, accusing Netanyahu of making maximalist statements that are not constructive to getting a ceasefire deal across the finish line and end the 10-month-long war in Gaza. Jackie Northam, NPR News.
On Wall Street, the Dow is down 61 points. The Nasdaq closed down 59 points today. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Oracle. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure is a platform for database, application development, and AI, designed to provide cloud services wherever users need it. Learn more at oracle.com/public. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate, August 20th. The moon will squeeze past the planet Saturn tonight. They climb into view about 9:30 or 10. Saturn looks like a bright star. As seen from most of the United States, it'll pass just a fraction of a degree from the moon. One of Saturn's moons is one of the more interesting objects in the solar system. Geysers of water and ice erupt from cracks in its crust. The geysers feed one of Saturn's rings, and the source of the geysers, a global ocean of liquid water, is considered one of the best places to look for life. Enceladus isn't very big, a bit more than 300 miles in diameter. It's caught in a gravitational tug-of-war between Saturn and another moon. That stretches and squeezes Enceladus, generating heat. The heat has melted some of its ice, creating a global ocean well below the surface. The ocean could be several miles deep. Some of the ocean's water escapes through cracks in the crust near the South Pole. Known as tiger stripes, they're warmer than the surrounding landscape. They spew enough water and ice to fill up an Olympic swimming pool in less than an hour. Some of the ejected material enters orbit around Saturn, forming a wide but faint ring. The ocean appears to contain all the ingredients for life. Water, a source of energy, and a good mix of chemicals. Future missions may fly through the geyser plumes to hunt for microscopic life. We'll talk about a search for intelligent life tomorrow. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns, located in Calaveras County in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. I'm Billy Henry.
Support for Stardate on KPR comes from the Lawrence Music Alliance's Mix Master Music Conference, Saturday, September 7th at Lawrence Public Library. Music industry workshops and panels, as well as a health clinic. Tickets at mixmaster2024.com. Rudolf Suchitsky's Vienna, City of My Dreams, here on KPR with Eric Kunzel, the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra, and Robert McDuffie on violin. Happy Tuesday, KPR friends! In 1795, on this day, Haydn returns to Vienna. Yes, he does. Good old Haydn. So you know what that means. We get to hear some Haydn this hour. At around 7:29, a quartet. A really great quartet. And I thought opening with Vienna, City of My Dreams was rather fitting. Is Vienna, a city of anyone's dreams out there? Is it? Something else premiered on this day in 1882, and I'm saving it for next hour. It's the greatest. Oh. I played it on the 4th of July. There's your hint. Right now, we are going to enjoy a Brandenburg Concerto. It's been a little while since I played Bach, and well, I know many of you out there love his concerti. So this is number 4. This is with the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra and Gerard Schwartz conducting and Wilson playing flute. Brandenburg Concerto number 4 right now on KPR.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, that flute player certainly got a workout. Box Brandenburg Concerto No. 4 here on KPR. Ransom Wilson on flute. Gerard Schwartz and the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra. I love Brandenburg Concertos. They're so delightful. And, you know, they make easier versions, also known as abridged versions, for students to play, which is very nice. I remember the day that I actually got to play the real version. I felt extra special. I don't think I've even told you who I am yet. I am Destiny, your fearless classical music host, who also plays the violin. So that's why I particularly love these concerti. I am also a very sentimental human. So at around 7:50, we are going to listen to something very sentimental. That is your hint. I'm like a ray of sunshine, just like Cromwell Solar. Support for classical music on KPR comes from Cromwell Solar since 1982, installing independent energy systems such as backup batteries and solar panels for farms, homes, and businesses. More info is at cromwellsolar.com. All right, I promised you a Haydn string quartet. He was known as the father of the string quartet because, well, he just wrote so darn many. This one is Opus 76, number 1. For all of you out there who keep track of those things, I hope you like it. It's with the Takash Quartet right now on KPR.
Thank you. Thank you.
the Takash Quartet playing for us, a Haydn string quartet here on KPR. I love Haydn. I also just happen to love music, and I'm very sentimental, so something sentimental is coming up. But speaking of love, Taranga Lila is a word that means all at once love song. Hymn to joy, time, movement, rhythm, life, and death. Whew. We'll hear the Taranga Lila Symphony by Oliver Messiaen in the next concert from the BBC Proms. Also, the premiere of Anna Klein's The Gorgeous Nothings, written specially for the Proms. It's this Friday night at 7 on KPR1. Very exciting. Don't miss it. Okay, what's with all of the sentimental hints? Well, I'm about to play for you Valse Sentimentale by Schubert. Yes, see, that's where I went with that. This recording here on KPR is with Peter Serkin. Enjoy. Peter Serkin on piano playing for us Schubert's Valse Sentimentale here on KPR. A nice way to dance into next hour, I think. We are going from the Baroque era all the way to the Romantic era with some exceptional premieres on this day. I'm very, very excited. Also, something kind of fruity. Wow, so many hints. You know, you probably could go online and look up, and I bet on the website it already tells you what's going to be played next hour. So I should check that out and see if that's a thing. Anyone out there, is that a thing? Let me know. All right, NPR News is up next. Thanks for being here with me. I'll be right back on KPR.
Our job as journalists is to check the facts and then check them again, to cite our sources and ask the tough questions that need answering.
And unfortunately, I'm going to have to go back to my first question. I still don't think I've heard an answer here. The presidential election.
What is Congress willing to do?
Is the U.S. doing everything it can?
I'm Leila Fadel from NPR, where independent public service journalism is what we do. This is NPR.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. It's Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, we're KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Oldsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for news on KPR comes from the Yoga Center of Lawrence, now offering 3 weekly introductory yoga classes to help you establish consistent practice, Saturdays, Sundays, and Tuesdays. Learn more at yogacenteroflawrence.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. At the Democratic National Convention in Chicago tonight, the roll call of the states, including President Joe Biden's home state of Delaware.
It is our honor to unanimously cast our 34 votes for the next president of the United States, Vice President Kamala Harris!
Today's convention theme, a bold vision for America's future, but there continue to be some backwards glances. Former President Barack Obama, who made his first appearance on the DNC convention stage in 2004, is tonight's headliner, and the grandson of former President John F. Kennedy, Jack Schlossberg, spoke in support of the current Democratic nominee.
Tonight, JFK's call to action is now ours to answer, because once again, the torch has been passed to a new generation, to a leader who shares my grandfather's energy, vision, and optimism for our future. That leader is Vice President Kamala Harris.
JFK appeared at the Democratic National Convention in 1956, speaking in support of Adlai Stevenson. Kennedy was elected president in 1960. As Vice President Harris aims to make history as the first woman president, her husband, second gentleman Doug Emhoff, would too as the first gentleman. NPR's Deepa Shivram says he'll address the DNC.
Emhoff has taken the lead on the White House's efforts to combat anti-Semitism and hate. He's also been speaking about abortion access since the Supreme Court's decision in 2022 to overturn Roe v. Wade. But as second gentleman, Emhoff also gets some fun assignments, some that intersect with his love of sports. Recently, he traveled to Paris for the closing ceremony of the Olympics and attended the Women's World Cup in New Zealand. Emhoff often talks about how sports can bring Americans together across political divides. Emhoff's children, Cole and Ella Emhoff, who are the vice president's stepchildren, will also speak at the convention this week. Deepa Shivaram, NPR News, Chicago.
In Puerto Rico, tens of thousands of homes and businesses are still waiting for electricity nearly a week after Tropical Storm Ernesto. NPR's Adeline Ferrito reports from San Juan.
Luma Energy, the private company that runs Puerto Rico's grid, says it's working to restore power to the last few percent of the island's 1.5 million customers. Ernesto left half of them in the dark, even though it was a fairly minor storm that brought lots of rain but only moderate wind gusts. The utility says most, but not all, should be reconnected in the next few days. The utility's chief executive says most people lost power because of toppled trees and branches. The company has fallen far behind in its plan to clear the grid of overgrown vegetation. Adrian Florido, NPR News, San Juan, Puerto Rico.
On Wall Street, the Dow was down 61 points. The Nasdaq fell 59 points. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from EBSCO, committed to providing colleges and universities with relevant online research databases to ensure student, faculty, and staff success. Learn more at EBSCO.com. This is Kansas Public Radio. Another serenata for us here on KPR. I played one last night, and, well, this one is by Rossini, and I sure do love Rossini. This recording was with Ricardo Chailly and the Bologna Theater Orchestra. Ooh, boy, oh boy, at around 8:40, something that happened on this day in 1882, it's explosive. There's another hint. You have to go check the history online and see what happened in 1882, and then maybe you will figure out what we're going to listen to. It's epic. Oh, you know what else is epic? The BBC proms. Like I mentioned last hour, we will hear them Friday night at 7 on KPR1, playing music by Oliver Messiaen and also Anna Klein. It's going to be really nice. Don't miss it. I'm hungry. So let's listen to the Pineapple Pole Ballet by Sir Arthur Sullivan. It's very fun. I hope you like it. It's on KPR right now with Sir Charles Mackerras and the London Philharmonic Orchestra.
Thank you.
Here on KPR, pineapples. Sir Arthur Sullivan, the Pineapple Pole Ballet. I hope you liked it. It was with Sir Charles Mackerras and the London Philharmonic Orchestra. I hope you are enjoying being here with me, your dear old host, Destiny, as much as I am enjoying being here with you. We are, after all, Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, it's your place to find NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 91.3 Junction City. Online at kansaspublicradio.org. And support for classical music on KPR comes from the Green Lady Lounge. You are going to need a drink before we listen to this music coming up. They feature Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. And for those of you that are underage, I mean Kool-Aid. Live Kansas City jazz, 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information is at greenladylounge.com. Okay, what have I been teasing for the last 2 hours? Why, it's Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture, which is epic, and I can't wait to play it for you right now. This recording is with the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra and Eric Kunzel. Ooh, let's enjoy 15 minutes of greatness on KPR. Wow, I don't even know what to say. I guess I could tell you what you just listened to here on KPR. That was Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture with Eric Kunzel and the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra. Epic. I love that music. Jeez Louise, it's so great. And I'm so glad that it premiered on this day in 1882 because it gave me a great excuse to play it. Yes, it did. If you've ever seen it performed live, wow, it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing on the radio, but live is even better. So, hey, thank you so much for being here with me tonight. Do you have any favorite things you would like to hear? You can reach out to the station at kansaspublicradio.org or find me directly online at destinyviolin.com. Write me, tell me what some of your requests are. I like to try and feature them. Makes it fun for me. Speaking of fun, Bob McWilliams and Jazz in the Night are up next after NPR News on Kansas Public Radio.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep with NPR News. Any good news organization should bring you points of view that you agree with and points of view that you don't. Facts you approve and facts that make you uncomfortable. Our job is to bring you the full picture in context so you can decide. This is NPR.
This is Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz, 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information can be found at greenladylounge.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Delegates to the Democratic National Convention in Chicago have cast their votes to make Vice President Kamala Harris the party's official standard bearer, even as Harris and running mate Tim Walz are campaigning in Milwaukee tonight. Harris beamed into the convention from her Wisconsin rally thanking delegates.
We are so honored to be your nominees. This is a people-powered campaign. And together, we will chart a new way forward.
And back in Chicago, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders noted the party's laying the groundwork for Harris to become the next president, a president for all Americans, not just the wealthiest.
When the political will is there, government can effectively deliver for the people of our country. And now we need to summon that will again.
Tonight's headliners will be former President Barack Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama. Harris campaigned for Obama in Iowa as part of the 2008 presidential campaign. Republican Vice Presidential candidate J.D. Vance was in Wisconsin today talking about crime and safety 4 years after the police shooting of Jacob Blake. Vance reconfirmed his support for law enforcement. Mayan Silver of WUWM has more.
Sally Herstedt of Kenosha is retired, leans conservative, and says she liked what Vance had to say today.
I think our law enforcement had all kinds of support from Trump, and they will again if Trump is elected.
Racial justice activists in Kenosha, like Tanya McLean, say Vance is rewriting what happened in 2020, which includes then 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse's shooting and killing of two protesters.
People from Trump's camp are the ones that incited what happened in this town, calling the arms and calling armed people to this town.
While policing is still important to them, many Kenosha voters say the economy is their most pressing concern. For NPR News, I'm Mayan Silver in Milwaukee.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is crisscrossing the Mideast today as he looks to seal an agreement between Israel and Hamas on a Gaza ceasefire. Blinken meeting first with Egypt's president, who said in a meeting he thinks it's time to end the 10-month-old war. On Monday, Blinken said Israel had accepted a U.S. bridging proposal aimed at narrowing the gaps between the two sides, where those gaps remain, including Israel's request that it have lasting control over two strategic corridors in Gaza, which Hamas has rejected. People familiar with the deal say it's because Israel wants a lasting military presence in a buffer zone along the Gaza-Egypt border. Stocks took something of a breather today from the recent record run-ups. closing modestly lower today. The Dow was down 61 points. The Nasdaq fell 59 points. This is NPR. The state with the highest life expectancy is Hawaii. NPR's Ping Wong has more on a new study from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
The average expected lifespan for someone in Hawaii is nearly 80 years old. That's 9 years more than for someone living in Mississippi, where the life expectancy is 71, the lowest in the U.S. After Hawaii, the states with the longest expected lifespan tended to be in the Northeast. States in the Southeast tend to lag the most. On average, women are outliving men in every state. The difference is just 4 years in Utah, the smallest gap, and almost 8 years in New Mexico, the largest. The CDC analysis used data from 2021, which was mid-pandemic. Overall, U.S. life expectancy declined during the pandemic and has not fully recovered. Even before that, U.S. life expectancy lagged behind other wealthy countries. Ping Huang, NPR News.
Authorities in Sicily say police divers have resumed their search for six people missing and believe trapped in the hull of a superyacht that sank in a sudden storm Monday. Among those still listed as being among the missing, a British tech magnat who was celebrating his recent acquittal on fraud charges. Eyewitnesses say the 184-foot-long sailing yacht was hit by an apparent water spout, causing it to go down quickly in some 160 feet of water. Divers have been working in 12-minute shifts to try to recover the bodies of any victims still trapped in the sunken ship. Crude oil futures prices continued to move lower today. Oil down 33 cents a barrel to settle at $74.04 a barrel in New York. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR be the model for high-quality journalism in the 21st century. This is NPR.
Danny Jonacucci Big Band kicking off tonight's Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio. Danny's arrangement of a great Kenny Barron tune called Voyage that featured Jeb Patton at the piano and also featured alto saxophonist Andrew Gould. Really fine new big band outing. It's called A Decade, the Danny Jonacucci Big Band. I'm Bob McWilliams. Good evening and welcome to Jazz in the Night. In about 6-7 minutes, we're going to hear the late great pianist John Hicks back in the mid-90s leading a quintet that had both KC's Bobby Watson and Vincent Herring on alto saxophones, and they do a great job on the standard My Shining Hour. Right now, though, it's trumpeter Jared Hall. His new album is called Influences, and this is a piece dedicated to Tom Harrell, the great trumpeter, and, well, Jared Hall just calls this piece Harrell. Let's hear it now on Kansas Public Radio. What a lovely piece by trumpeter Jared Hall. It's called Harold, in honor of the trumpeter Tom Harrell. Trumpeter Jared Hall's new album is called Influences, working with Tal Cohen, piano, Michael Glynn, and John Bishop, bass and drums. And Jared Hall, over the last roughly decade, been a mainstay of the Pacific Northwest jazz scene. He's a Spokane native, studied music at the Indiana University School of Music, and then did his graduate work at the Frost School of Music at the University of Miami, got his doctorate there, with his primary teacher being the great trumpeter Brian Lynch. Went back to the Pacific Northwest of Seattle. But now for the last couple of years, well, he has taken the job back where he grew up in Spokane, Washington, as a director of musical studies there at Whitworth University, where he did his undergraduate work, trumpeter Jared Hall. With pianist John Hicks up next in 10 minutes, we'll hear Mark Murphy, an LP from the mid-70s, doing songs associated with Nat Cole. That's on the way. Also on the way in about 15 minutes, we'll hear from our Jazz Album of the Week. This week, it's from pianist Akai Curtis, Q-Bop Lives. But right now, it's the late pianist John Hicks and a really fine 1995 album called Peace for My Peace. And the standard My Shining Hour has John at the piano, Curtis Lundy and Cecil Brooks at third bass and drums, and not one but two terrific alto saxophonists, Bobby Watson and Vincent Herring. Here they are with John Hicks on My Shining Hour here on Kansas Public Radio.